Welcome back. Simon Tsilikas in for Mitch Melnick with Sean Coleman and Rod Francis. This is Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. We'll take you right to 6 o'clock. Noah Butler with Oranges at halftime, breaking down the Impact's big game tomorrow versus the Chicago Fire. You can catch that game on TSN 690. Rick Moffitt and Grant Needham with the call. But following Oranges at halftime tonight here on TSN 690, a little baseball. Jays versus Rays. Looking forward to catching some of that. And I'm also looking forward to Gio Stanton being a Blue Jay. That's I'm running with that. Yeah, I'm going to run with that.
Okay, I got you.
Let's talk a little puck. Joining us now from TSN 1200 in Ottawa is Chris Stevenson. Chris, how you doing, man? Good afternoon.
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Chris, so pretty sad news to report coming out of Ottawa on the weekend, the passing of Brian Murray. And I spoke to Rod about this before we had you on the air today as we were preparing the show. Is a man that you knew quite well.
Yeah, and I think after the obvious initial sadness when the news comes out of his passing, which we knew was going to be inevitable, but doesn't make it any less sorrowful when it happens. But I think in the last few days, Brian would have been quite proud to see the outpouring of tributes to him for his 35 years in the National Hockey League. And you think about that for just a second to say that a man had a 35-year career in the National Hockey League. You can understand why there have been as many tributes for Brian Murray in the last few days as there have been.
Chris, you're writing a book. You were writing in the process of writing a book about Brian Murray.
Yeah, well, it started after Brian had his cancer diagnosis in the summer of 2014. He and I had a few conversations, and I'd asked him if he ever thought about doing a book, because I was one of the privileged people that got to know Brian well enough that oftentimes when we would be out on the road, we would we'd get together the night before, sometimes after a game, sit and watch some hockey and have a couple of beers, often at Hurley's when the Senators were passing through Montreal, and would sit there and listen to Brian tell stories about his many years in the league. And when I asked him if he ever thought about doing a book, he said, you know, I've sat down and I started actually writing some things down for my grandkids, just so that, you know, they'd maybe have a little bit of a sense of what their grandfather was all about. And I said to him, you know, if you want any help with that, I'm more than happy to pitch in. I've heard a whole bunch of those stories firsthand. And from there, I just figured it'd be a good idea if hockey fans could get as much enjoyment out of hearing Brian Murray's stories as I did on those nights. I figured that would be a good thing to start with. And from there, I just thought it'd be a great way maybe to raise some money for cancer awareness as well. But that was one of the things that I think that kind of told us about Brian Murray's personality, that when he got this dire diagnosis in the summer of 2014, that he didn't have long to live. And in fact, it showed his fighting spirit that he was able to last more than 3 years fighting the terrible disease, that he decided to go public with it. And Michael Farber had that great piece on TSN going with Brian for one of his chemo treatments. And Brian chose to take this awful news and turn it around and make it a positive for a lot of people by telling men to get out there and have a colonoscopy. And it was interesting in the days after the news of his passing that there were a bunch of people I saw on Twitter saying, you know, thanks to Brian Murray, I went to get a colonoscopy. And, you know, either it was I got a clean bill of health and that was great, or in the case of a guy like Brad Shaw, former NHLer, coach in the league, he went. He was a coach with the St. Louis Blues at the time. They went as a coaching staff to have colonoscopies done, and they found a bad polyp in Brad Shaw's colon, and he was tweeting on Saturday that he figured Brian Murray could have possibly saved his life.
What a great legacy that is. Perfect. Want to look, I can imagine, you know, writing about the man and how difficult it is. But when you go home and you sit and you reflect, but, you know, like you knew that his time with us, he was on borrowed time. So how difficult of a concept is that when you're, you know, doing a story on someone, but you just don't know, like you don't expect him to be with us much longer?
Yeah, and I think it certainly is what brought us together to do the project. Because Brian had decided, look, I'm not going to be around. My grandkids are very young. I want them to have a sense of what their grandfather was about. So that's what brought us together. I think when I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was the elephant in the room, obviously. But what a privilege for me to be able to sit there and ask him about all these different things and hear these stories again. And you know, I think what made it easier was that he never ignored the whole situation. He was always so upfront about it and very pragmatic about it. So, you know, do you know that the clock is ticking? Of course you do. And there were times when I, you know, went with him for his chemo treatments, and we sat there for 3 hours and talked while he was undergoing a chemo treatment. So it was never far from the heart of our conversation, but again, I think it speaks to the man that he faced it head on and did it with dignity.
Simon Slikas in for Mitch Melnyk. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on a TSN 690 with Sean Coleman and Rod Francis in conversation with Chris Stevenson from TSN 1200 in Ottawa.
Hey there, Chris. From the outside, it looks like the Ottawa Senators not necessarily the easiest place to work, and yet Brian Murray, as you've talked about, was universally admired. You look at ownership. Eugene Melnyk has had his own health issues. He's also had his own issues when it comes to finances and certain investigations. How was it that Brian was able to have such longevity in a market that doesn't necessarily scream out being an easy place to work?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to reputation to start with. And I think the biggest compliment you could pay anybody, and this particularly applies to Brian, everywhere that he worked, from Washington to Detroit to Florida to Anaheim, finally to Ottawa, he turned all those teams around. He left them all, maybe doesn't quite apply to Ottawa, but I'll qualify that in a minute. But he left all of those franchises in much better shape than when he arrived. And I think that's the greatest credit you can give him. And I think, you know, did he get a little bit of wiggle room, a little bit of the hometown discount, if you want to call it that, here in Ottawa? Maybe he did, because he was a Shawville guy from, an hour up the Ottawa Valley. But again, I think it speaks to, his acumen as a hockey man, that with a reduced budget and at times being placed in a situation where he had to cut payroll and trade the likes of a Mike Fisher and a Chris Kelly at one point when they were still a decent team, that, you know, he found a way to work with what he had. And I think most Senators fans recognized the circumstances under which he had to work. And, you know, he made some great deals. He made some not so good deals. But for the most part, this is a guy who took them to their first Stanley Cup final of the modern era as the coach.
Chris, want to get into the team that was one goal away from the Cup final. Coming into this 2017-2018 season, big question mark here in Montreal is they have Shea Weber, and it's who is going to play next to Shea Weber. It was a question throughout the season last year. It will continue to be a question this year for the Canadians and their fan base. But we looked at Ottawa. It was Erik Karlsson and Mark Methot. Going forward, Erik Karlsson, probably the most dynamic player in this league. Who gets to ride shotgun next to him for the upcoming season?
That's a great question. And I think, I think it's going to be an open addition at training camp. They signed Johnny Oduya, and I think he's probably going to get the best look at this point. But after that, there's some interesting possibilities. And when Methot you know, had that finger injury after the slash from Sidney Crosby. Freddie Claesson got an opportunity to play there, a fellow Swede, and I thought did, for a young guy without much experience being thrust into that role, I thought did a decent job. Ben Harper, who's another young guy, 6'7", can play with a little bit of an edge, had a few shifts with him. You know, and I think that's probably the way that we're going to see it evolve, because you look at the minutes that Carlson plays on a nightly basis, and he's in that, you know, 27, 28-minute range usually, sometimes north of that. I don't know if there's another defenseman who's capable of playing that number of minutes as his partner. So I think we probably will see some kind of, you know, Carlson partner by committee type thing. But I would think at least in the early going, Johnny Oduya will probably be the guy that'll get the bulk of those minutes.
As I mentioned, Chris, this team went to the conference final, Game 7. They were a goal away from the Stanley Cup final going into this season. What are the levels of expectations for this club?
Well, you look at it and you look at the way the East is, and it's one of our favorite things at this time of year, right? We start going through the teams and we say, well, Tampa's got to be better. There's a team that a lot of people picked to win the division last year and wound up missing the playoffs. They're going to be better. Florida's got such a great young team. They've got to be better. Carolina's a team's got a, you know, maybe one of the best as a group, young defense corps in the league. You keep looking at all these teams. Well, who's going to miss? I still see Ottawa as a team that's going to have a lot of things go right to be in the mix to make the playoffs. I think they're a team that's going to be scrambling, much like they did last year, to keep their heads above water. They've just got, you know, right now I just think they've got that type of team. The thing that's hanging over them right now, Derek Brassard had to have shoulder surgery, and, you know, doubtful if he's going to be anywhere near 100% come the start of the season. And, of course, Carlson had the surgery on the tendon in his left ankle. And, you know, the hopes are, and he's been putting some pictures up on Instagram of him training, the hopes are that he'll be ready. But you got to think some of those key guys might not be right up to 100% until maybe around Christmas, given the surgeries that they've faced. So I think Ottawa's going to be right in a battle in that, you know, 6, 7, 8 spots in the conference.
Chris, thanks for taking the time. Much appreciated. Great stuff.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, Chris Stevenson from TSN 1200.